welcome to your turn, Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us as we're here every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. And tell a friend. We've got some interesting stuff coming up and some really kind of vital things coming up today. As you know, there is an open enrollment period coming from November 12th through December 10th. And although most people focus on health insurance, and that is the critical one in the matrix, I guess, there are a number of other things that are involved in the open enrollment period. Everything from dental and vision insurance. It's a good time to look at your long-term care policies and check out life insurance. And I got a question the other day from someone, and he was talking about when is there going to be the next open season for FEGLI, the Federal Employees Group Life Insurance Program. Hasn't been one since 2004. And normally their FEGLI open seasons are few and far between. They usually only have them when they're making a change in rates or premiums or benefits or something like that, and that hasn't happened in a long time. But my guest today is also someone who's anxious to find out when the next FEGLI open season will be, because John Montague is executive director. Is that the correct title, John?
That's right, Mike.
Executive director of WAIPA. Everything in government's got to have initials. Worldwide Assurance for Employees of Public Agencies. Goes way back to the 1940s. And you provide life insurance for feds.
Yes, we do. We provide life insurance for civilian federal employees as well as their families.
And the difference, FEGLI is a very good deal for a lot of people. Because the government backs it, there are minimal number of health questions you have to answer to get in it. And when they have an open season, as they do, there are even fewer questions that you must answer. But you do, it's pretty much guaranteed coverage for just about everybody, correct?
Right. New federal employees have the opportunity to enroll in the program when they're initially hired into the federal government, actually within the first 60 days. Other than that, they really have to wait to another open season, or they can wait for 1 year after their initial employment, and they can apply, but they have to provide a physical exam at their own expense. They also have the ability to enroll in the optional coverage, option B and option C, which are dependent coverage, if they have a qualified life event without any underwriting. And that's defined as a marriage, a divorce, a death of a spouse, or a birth of a child.
Okay. Oh, I didn't realize it was that tough. So if you don't get in right away, then after a year...
Yes, and that's why most people enroll initially, because that's really a great opportunity to enroll in the program.
I wonder if they realize that. Now, you guys are a little more choosy with who you take, correct?
Yes, we are. One of the differences between us and the federal program, you can join our insurance program at any time. It doesn't have to be the initial time of your hire with the federal government. We like to provide options for employees who can increase their life insurance or buy additional life insurance when they have a change in their life, buying a new home, starting a new job, a marriage, the birth of a child, planning for a college education. So we're there really to not only supplement the FEGLI program, but to provide that additional insurance needs that the people have.
Maybe we can post some of the rates on our website later on about this.
Right. Our rates in general are very less expensive than the federal program. And that's because in most cases, depending on the amount of insurance that you apply with WAIPA, you in most cases are required to complete an application that has health questions and in some cases take a medical exam. As a result of that, we do not accept everyone that applies to the program. But those that are accepted into the program results we have a very healthy block of business and we keep our rates low. And in addition to that, our board of directors was able to establish a premium refund program. And since 1996, we've actually processed 16 annual premium refunds. Most of them average 25%. The most recent one we had was just announced here in September of 2012, where all the WAIPA policyholders received a check in the amount of 25% of their annualized premium. That totaled just over $7 million that we sent out in premium refunds this past month. And since the program was established in 1996, we've returned over $65 million to our policyholders.
Good Lord. I assume WAIPA staffers are not included in this bonus.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay. When somebody's looking for life insurance, a lot of times young people think, I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't need it. But and if, particularly for something like WEPA, that would be the time to buy, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely, because, for example, at the younger age brackets, people below the age of 30, our rates can be up at to as 89% less than the federal program. So it's a significant savings. And in addition, you also have the potential of receiving the premium refund on an annual basis.
Now, I know age obviously is a factor, but if you're a say a very healthy 50-year-old, what kind of premium are you looking at?
You're probably looking at a premium that's in the 20 to 30% less than the federally program.
Is there any situation where the government is a better deal as far as premiums go?
Actually, the best deal the federal program is, if, for example, if you're not in the best of health, and that really precludes you of buying insurance from another carrier. You won't be accepted for those carriers. So one of the main advantages of the federal program is that they accept everyone in the beginning, no matter what their health conditions, where in a lot of cases a person may in fact be uninsurable, but yet the federal program will accept them when they join initially with the federal government.
Well, that's a major plus. It's something people should look at.
It's a major plus, and quite frankly, that's why the rates are a little bit higher than the other competitors, and that's why people who are in good physical condition have a chance, if they take the time to look, to actually save significant dollars, not only with WEPA, but other insurance companies out in the marketplace.
Okay, yeah, again, it's always nice to be young and healthy, isn't it?
It's nice to be young, because when you're young, you're immortal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Some of these other things, I know you look at insurance. What's your take on long-term care insurance?
Long-term care insurance, it's a very difficult subject, kind of like life insurance. Many people do not like to consider the consequences of the event. And a lot of people have had experiences with families and loved ones in a nursing home, and it's obviously not the most pleasant situation. So most people obviously would like to have care in their own home health care. The program is it's a very expensive product, one of the most expensive insurance products you will buy, but it's also going through some state of flux. For example, a lot of insurance carriers, the market's actually retrenching as far as carriers that offer the product. And the federal program is one of the largest in the world. It was just created about 10 years ago, and it's a very good program. But even then, several years ago, the individuals in the federal program had a 25% rate increase, and that's probably typical of most long-term care insurance companies. You see a lot of companies who are continue to tweak the benefits in the program. A lot of times they're finding that some of the benefits, for example, lifetime coverage, is just unaffordable. And they've been squeezed, for example, by increasing usage in claims on the long-term care product, as well as the investments they've had with the downturn in the late 08 and 09 to really fund the payment for those programs. So as a result, you've seen a lot of companies, including the federal program, having large rate increases. And the new products they've coming out, they've kind of eliminated some of the more expensive benefits, and some of the things that they've considered options in the past, in a lot of cases, are rolled into the products themselves. But as a result, the new premium is higher than it was in the past.
I think what's so telling in all this is the number of insurance companies that have dropped long-term care. At one point, there were a dozen or more that offered long-term care, and a number of them now, they continue to honor the policies
they have,
but they're not offering it anymore. And I signed up in my 40s mm-hmm. for long-term care insurance. You know, I'm a belt and suspenders guy, mm-hmm. and I didn't think I'd need it, obviously, but I signed up, and the premiums were low and all that. The company that I signed up with now no longer offers long-term care insurance. I continue to get it, as do others who signed up in our Washington Post group, but they don't offer it because it's so expensive to them. And I think that tells you something about the cost of long-term care in general.
Exactly. There's been a great consolidation in the marketplace. A lot of companies, they've sold their blocks of business to other carriers. That does give them some strength as far as size. But I used to work for a Blue Cross plan back in the 1980s, and long-term care was the coming product.
Yeah.
And it still seems to evolve. And I don't think that that level of evolution has stopped yet. So I think we'll still see some changes in the benefits and the products that are offered. But it's a great product, as anyone who knows who has someone in that condition. It's just astronomical cost.
Well, it was so interesting when you started out. You said that a lot of people don't like to think about the need for long-term care insurance. It's such an awful prospect. My mother, case in point, very intelligent, smart lady, retired government worker. And I tried to get her to get long-term care insurance, and she balked at it because she didn't want to think about needing it, you know, the event itself. She finally got it. I had a, got a good policy, I think, through the government, but I'm not sure. But at any rate, she got Alzheimer's in her last 2 years, two very bad years. But because of the money from the long-term care insurance and her federal annuity and her Social Security, it didn't strain the family much at all, and it enabled her to have the very best care, care that we probably could not have afforded had she not had this. So I recommend it.
I know. I think many people who haven't been exposed to it, they just don't realize the level of the cost. I mean, depending on where you live, the annual cost can be anywhere from $75,000 to $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's like buying a home every year out of your cash, out of your paycheck.
It's a good way to
put really, it. It's just astronomical.
Right.
So it definitely has a need, but it's very expensive. And you really need to shop around, particularly if you're in the market. But I think the federal employees who enrolled in the program made a smart decision to get in when they
did. Yeah. Well, and so many people, too, think that Medicare will take care of all of these things when, as you said, it will, except for the $75,000 or $100,000 that it doesn't take care of.
Right. There's some significant dollars in there that people can be exposed to if they don't plan properly.
When you're buying insurance, it seems to me at one point – the rule of thumb was to add a zero to your salary, and that obviously would go up as your pay hopefully rises. What is the measure?
I think the reality is there is no hard and fast rule. I think, like in any situation, you'd need to look at your personal situation. What are your responsibilities? If something would happen to you, how would your family deal with that situation? For example, could they continue to afford their mortgage? Would they have the money to send their kids to college? A lot of cases, families don't really consider if one of the either the husband or wife stays at home to support the family. If something would happen to them, all of a sudden, those needs still need to be taken care of to support the family, child care, whatever. So that's an additional cost that people don't recognize. So it really gets down to, I think, what your situation is at this personal point in your life. In some cases, you'll need more insurance. In other cases, you won't. For example, if your mortgage is paid off, that's a liability you don't have to worry about. So my advice to people is to always do an annual checkup at least and see what's my financial situation, what's my portfolio, and if something should happen to me, do I have enough insurance to take care of that? And on the other side of the coin, I may have too much insurance. I may need to reduce it, that I don't really have that great void right now in my financial plan.
Should people go to a financial advisor? I mean, I know that's a good thing if you can afford it and know a good one. But is there a website or something where you could go that has a checklist?
There's several websites. In fact, our website, WAEPA.org, also has a needs analysis and a coverage calculator. But again, it's a guide. But I think there are tools out there that people can use to get a general idea what they have. And a lot of times those things are general, so there may be a specific situation that's unique to you that might need to be taken into consideration when you consider the amount of insurance you have. For example, are you caring for a family member? Something like that may not be taken care of.
I want to ask you more about that needs thing. We need to take a short break here. I'm talking with John Montague, Executive Director of WAEPA. We'll be right back here on Federal News Radio.
Do you hear that? That's a satellite 500 miles above the Earth. And no, you can't hear it or see it, but it's there. With Raytheon technology that's helping to predict the weather, monitor our climate, or capture images of our planet. A lot of Raytheon solutions are actively at work in much the same way. Unseen, but unmatched. After all, when your mission is space, the possibilities are infinite. Raytheon. Customer success is our mission. Do you hear that? That's a zettabyte. The amount of data the world generates every 6 months. 5 times more data than the combined storage of every hard drive on Earth. In a sea of data this huge, Raytheon Cyber Solutions deliver security, efficiency, and resiliency. After all, when your mission is cyber, every bit matters. Raytheon. Customer success is our mission.
Agency of the Month, sponsored by ICF International.
Dr. Carolyn Clancy, director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, talks about the value of research.
We don't pay for care. We don't provide it or regulate it. But through partnerships with entities that do, we can make sure that they've got the best possible information to inform their decisions.
Agency of the Month, Wednesdays at 11 in October on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Cancer claims more than 570,000 lives each year and costs more than $102 billion in care expenses alone. ICF International plays a role in every aspect of cancer data collection and dissemination, helping clients track this deadly disease across the country. They provide researchers, including those working at the National Institutes of Health, with information they need to better fight cancer or prevent it altogether. Find out how their public health work improves the quality of life at ICFI.com.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Federal retirees and Social Security recipients will get a 1.7% cost of living adjustment in 2013. It's the second straight year feds will receive a COLA. This year, retirees saw a 3.6% bump. Recipients will see the raise in their first annuity payments in January. Despite the increase, however, some retirees might not see a real change in their pocketbooks, as the COLA could be offset by rising health care costs.
WEPA. A nonprofit association has just announced another 25% premium refund. Since 1996, WEPA policyholders have received 16 annual premium refunds totaling over $65 million. WEPA also offers life insurance at rates far less than the Fegley program. Isn't it time you considered WEPA for your family's life insurance needs? For better insurance, better prices, and better value, visit waepa.org. That's waepa.org.
For a faster, easier way for your agency to go green, choose GSA's Green Aisles, the custom online purchasing channels on GSA Advantage and GSA Global Supply. Each item in the Green Aisles is identified and labeled with environmental indicators like Energy Star, EP, and more, so you can find the green products and services you need and meet all of your agency's sustainability requirements, environmental and economic. To learn more, join the conversation today at interact.gsa.gov/sustainability.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with John Montague. He's the executive director of WEPA, and that's a non-federal insurance program that covers only federal employees, worldwide assurance for employees of public agencies. And it's interesting that commercial just broke in by surprise here, but saying what you had just said, that you've had a 25% rebate to everybody this year.
Yes, just this past September.
Okay,
correct.
So whatever you paid in premium, you got 25% of it back in a check. So
correct.
It's a good deal. Had a telephone call from Lauren, and she's concerned about what I said about companies dropping long-term care insurance. What I meant by that, Lauren, I hope I didn't scare you clear it up. What I said was the companies that were offering long-term care insurance, many of them are no longer offering it. They continue to honor the policies they have. As example, with my company, CNA, they offered it. Now they don't, but they continue to cover me, and they'll cover everybody in our class as long as it happens. So if you have long-term care insurance with anybody, Johns Hopkins or whatnot, John Hancock, don't worry about it. Even if they did stop offering it to other people, they would continue to honor yours.
Right. It would really just be they would cease new sales, but they still continue to honor the existing policyholders. And, for example, John Hancock, the one you mentioned, that's one of the giants in long-term care today. And they're also an underwriter from the federal program, the Long-Term Care Partners. So they are one of a very solid long-term care carrier.
Okay. And back to life insurance, which is your thing. How many people in the U.S. are not insured at all?
Honestly, Mike, I don't have that statistic to tell you the truth, but I think it's a significant number, a large number.
Do not have any insurance.
Quite frankly, in the past several years with the economic downturn, in the past 4 or 5 years, life insurance sales have dropped. And a lot of that has been a result of many people have life insurance through their employer, just like the federal employees do through the Fegley program or they do with WEPA. And as a result of people out of work, they've lost their life insurance coverage. So actually, life insurance coverage actually has been on the decrease slightly. It's starting to come up a little bit now, but on a slow basis.
Yeah, that's the sort of the law of unintended consequences. You lose a job or you're underemployed, you can't afford it, and those are times when you need it the most.
People are always concerned about their health insurance. Can you continue that? And that's probably their first concern. But a lot of times they overlook the fact that they no longer have life insurance coverage, which was obviously a very important topic.
Yeah, well, I know that a catastrophic illness or an accident is the number one cause of bankruptcy in this country. And I guess a lot of people, when they're looking to make choices, they obviously would make health insurance a first priority. Right. But then again, as you said, if you're thinking about your family, can they stay in the house? Can they go to school? Will your wife have to farm the kids out and get a job?
Exactly, because when most people think, if you'd ask them what is their biggest asset, they would probably say their home, their car. But if you really look at it, your biggest asset is your ability to generate an income over your lifetime. And that's probably the thing that you can at least afford to lose. And that's what really life insurance protects in the long run.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in government terms, that's your unfunded liability. You owe the kids X years of education, you owe your spouse a place to live in, you owe them a decent living, and if you're not around to provide it, that's when the insurance is the savior.
Exactly.
Now, what do you when people go shopping for insurance, for life insurance, what should they be looking at?
I think they should, again, probably the first step, as we mentioned earlier, is consider the amount of coverage they need. Then probably the best sources of information is ask your friends. What do they have? Nothing like a personal endorsement from someone who's satisfied with their life insurance coverage or any type provider, be it insurance or what department store they like to go to. And I think you also need to look at the stability of the insurance company that provides the benefits. I would look for a company that's at least rated A by AM Best, which ranks all the insurance carriers. There are a lot of life insurance tools on the web that you can go and compare rates. So I would look for a name you recognize or that you're familiar with as far as that company, because you want to make sure that that company's there when you actually need that benefit. In a lot of cases, these companies that get in the market, their products, they may no longer sell the product going forward, but those policies are bought up by stronger life insurance companies, just for example, like you mentioned in your long-term care provider.
Okay, so somebody else bought that and is taking care of it.
As a result, they have a bigger block of business, and they have the advantage of that economy of scales and having all those policies under one company.
Okay. And again, in the federal program, FEGLI, everybody can come in regardless of pre-existing condition or health conditions.
Correct, when they're hired.
If they miss that, they can wait a year and come back, but then they have to answer those certain health questions.
Right.
And did you say take a physical at their own expense?
Right.
Okay. And so that could be dicey, particularly people who wait and wait and wait.
And the other opportunity is obviously when FEGLI has an open season. And again, as you mentioned earlier, the last one was in 2004. They usually have the open seasons when there's a significant change in the benefits of the program. Back in 2004, that was also the 50th anniversary of the FEGLI program when they had the last open season.
Okay.
But it's really hard to match the timing of your particular needs to when an open season will be held, because there's really just no way to know when that will be.
We've got the open enrollment season coming up for a lot of things, but health insurance is what most people focus on. Mm-hmm. Is there a correlation between health insurance and life insurance? I mean, in your planning.
Oh, I think it should be all part of your planning. I think, quite frankly, most people think about health insurance much more often than life insurance, just because of the open season, because it forces them to make a decision. Well, my health carriers, the rates are going up 1%, they're going down 2%. That forces me to a decision point. We really don't have that same input of information on your life insurance, unless it's a FEGLI open season. In those cases, people really pay a lot of attention to what they're paying under the federal program. Like, oh, I'm paying this. Well, maybe I should look around to see if there's a better rate, or maybe I need more insurance. So it really is just a stimulus for people to start thinking about, maybe I need to look at the life insurance. But I think really the fact that there's an annual open season for health insurance really makes people focus on it more. And quite frankly, it's something that they deal with more often. Fortunately, you don't have to claim your life insurance more than once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
But as any family knows, having kids and going to the doctors and those appointments, and if you have God forbid, have to have some services in the hospital, that's something you see more often. So that's another reason I think it raises people awareness of the importance of health insurance.
Yeah, and it is that insurance agents call it that moment, too, when you have to, you start to sign the policy and you realize you're acknowledging your own mortality there.
Correct. But it's the prudent thing to do, not only for yourself, but for your family in the long run, because we just never know.
I know several families that were just devastated by the fact that there was no insurance, or that the survivors living a very different kind of bleak life compared to the way it was before.
I've heard those horror stories as well, just heartbreaking.
Over the years, life insurance, I guess, is sold in units of $1,000.
That's the way it's usually priced, correct. You'll usually see X dollars per thousand on an annual basis.
I wondered if things like people are living longer. We have the obesity epidemic in this country. The medicine's getting better. It's also getting more expensive. Has pricing of life insurance changed? Has WEPA changed?
No, our rates are the same rates we've had back in the 1940s when we were formed. We've never had a rate increase. I think really the more rate increases you're seeing are the area of health insurance, just because of the fact that with the advance of technology and medicine, people are living longer and they have more opportunities to, unfortunately, contact illnesses. And then you have the situation where, like you say, the Americans have the tendency to gain weight over years, the whole issue of physical fitness of our society. We're living longer, and it just puts more pressure on the health system to provide services to support that growing and, unfortunately, maybe a less healthy population in the long run.
Well, it's always interesting when you have the cost of living adjustment for federal retirees announced, if any, this year, that is for 2013. It's going to be 1.7%. Health insurance premiums are going up more than that, and some people say there should be a connection there, but there really isn't, because medical inflation is always runs ahead of the regular inflation, the cost of living. And as it gets better, there are so many factors in it. But a lot of times, because of legal requirements or lawsuits, they're required to provide more tests to you to cover the doctors. The cost of medicines, developing them, is expensive, and so there's no connection between the cost of living and the cost of medical inflation.
Right, and the retirees are seeing those costs go up, but not the adjustments.
People can't understand it, but that's the way it is. The Fegley program, do you know how many people it covers?
It covers basically the last number I saw, I think it's about 96% of the federal employees, civilian employees.
They have life insurance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's almost as high as health insurance.
Yes. I think a lot of it because new employees are told about the importance of the program, particularly in their initial hire date.
Could somebody get both Fegley and WEPA, your insurance?
Oh, absolutely. Many people continue to have Fegley but use us as a supplement. Again, we have the advantage of that our program is not limited by the amount of your annual salary. So an individual can apply up to a total of $750,000 with WEPA. We also have higher levels of dependent coverage for your spouse. Fegley Option C, the maximum is $25,000 for your dependent spouse. We'll do 10 times that, up to $250,000.
Interesting. And I guess the maximum for any federal worker would be in the $200,000 range, wouldn't it?
But well, because of salary? It would be their base salary, and if they took advantage of the options, option A, which is the additional 10%, and option B, which is multiples of 5% of their salary.
Okay.
So again, the salary is really the starting point to determine your federal coverage.
So if you're young and healthy, or even not so young but relatively healthy, wouldn't be bad, again, belt and suspenders, to have both Fegley, the federal program, and WEPA, yours as
Correct.
A supplement to
Correct.
Get you in it.
To cover the needs you have then, and then over time you may decide that you need to reduce either WEPA or Fegley in the future.
Okay. What's your website again, please?
WAEPA.org.
WAEPA.org.
Correct.
Okay, and we'll post that in the column as
Perfect.
Well, too. We need to take a short break here. We'll be right back on Federal News Radio.
Geico's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from Geico. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Paul Pagnotto of the Pagnotto Carp Group of Hightower Advisors. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to get in touch with us, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Here's Anil Carmel, M&O Chief Technology Officer at the National Nuclear Security Administration, on the Federal Executive Forum on Data Center Consolidation, Progress and Best Practices, sponsored by Schneider Electric.
Technology is actually the easy part of the problem. The bigger parts are the people, right, and the processes, in the sense that we have existing business processes. And for us to really enable data center consolidation, we have to change the way we procure our services.
To listen to the whole program, made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Struggling to meet your data center consolidation and sustainability goals? Look to Schneider Electric. From assessments, planning, and infrastructure improvements to funding vehicles to overcome capital shortfalls, Schneider Electric offers the industry's leading expertise that you need to create more efficient, available data centers. With their future-minded solutions, you'll realize lower lifecycle costs, enhanced physical security, and a smaller building footprint. That's Schneider-Electric.us.
Attention civilian employees of the intelligence community and the Departments of Defense and State. You could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com/term life. That's GEBA.com/term life. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. Contract series 83500.
The goal of gene therapy is to deliver vital pieces of DNA to places in a patient where their own genetic material is defective. But that's a real challenge. The DNA has to safely find its way to the diseased organ, enter the cells, and begin working. That's what viruses do, so they've been used in gene therapy. But Eric Lauten of Northwestern University has helped chemically engineer potentially safer delivery containers.
This is the first time that DNA-containing particles of different shapes have been made and actually have been used to deposit DNA into cells.
Lauten says shape is key to successfully targeting a specific organ, compared to spherical particles, for example.
Elongated particles, worm-like particles, they have a gene expression that is 1,600 times better in liver cells.
That's in animals, though. Human tests are years away. To find out more, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Back to Federal News Radio, and your turn. I'm Mike Causey. I'm talking with John Montague. He is the executive director of WAPA, which stands for Worldwide Assurance for Employees of Public Agencies, and that's a long way of saying they sell term life insurance. And John, we've got a couple of minutes here. What's the difference between what you sell and what the government backs or sells?
Well, actually, the programs are identical because they both offer term life insurance. The underlying insurance coverage is identical. The differences between our program is, as we mentioned earlier, is the level of premium rates between the two programs. As a result of us requiring medical underwriting in many cases and requiring an application to be completed, we're able to offer lower rates. Also, WAPA offers higher levels of coverage than most people can acquire under the federal program. And that's because the federal program is based on your annual salary. WEPA, you can really choose what amount of coverage you need with or without Fegley to meet your actual needs. We can, as I mentioned earlier, we can offer up to $750,000 for a civilian federal employee. We also offer $250,000 maximum for dependent coverage for your spouse. Again, the federal limit is $25,000. We also have a program which we call associate membership, where your spouse, if they even need more than that $250,000 dependent coverage, can go up to the $750,000 level. And another benefit that WEPA offers is that that associate membership also includes your non-dependent adult children. So, for example, if you have a son who's 30 years old who's not a federal employee, if you join WEPA, you may not need life insurance, but you can join WEPA, our association, by paying a one-time, lifetime, $2 membership fee. That makes your non-dependent adult kids eligible for the program, even if they're not federal employees.
And they're good customers for you because presumably they're all young and they're probably very healthy. Huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And another advantage that we have as a nonprofit is that we also, about 6 years ago, introduced a college scholarship program for our members. And on an annual basis, we award over 65 college scholarships, totaling over $180,000 a year to our members' kids.
Good
deal.
So
that's something we're very proud to doing it. We kind of look at that as reinvesting in all our futures.
Sure. Well, and you know, the government plan, they have to take you if you're when you're first hired.
Correct.
You don't. WEPA makes people pass a physical.
Right. Like most other insurance companies,
right.
We're selective on
okay.
who goes into the program. Most people get in. It's on an individual basis. And as a result of having that upfront screening, we are able to offer significantly lower rates and also, as in the past 16 years, over $65 million in premium refunds. And it also allows us to fund other programs like the scholarship program I just mentioned.
Very good. Well, John, thank you for popping in.
Well, thank you, Mike. I enjoyed it.
We'll talk to you again maybe next year when we're approaching a new open enrollment season. Going to take a short break here on Federal News Radio, and we'll be right back.
Looking for a good way to entertain clients or employees? Trying to get tickets to a sold-out Ravens game? Listen to this. Hospitality tents include your game tickets, accommodate 30 guests, provide shelter from the weather, and a catered tailgate. Tents are still available for select games and can be reserved by calling 410-261-RAVE to reserve your hospitality tent and receive a pregame tailgate and 30 tickets to the game. Call 410-261-RAVE.
Are you a Federal or U.S. Postal Service employee or annuitant, or an active or retired member of the Uniformed Services? If so, you're eligible to apply for coverage under the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. The program offers a smart way to help protect savings and assets and remain independent should you need long-term care services someday. Make long-term care insurance part of your retirement plan. Find out how at LTCFEDS.com. That's LTCFEDS.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
Concerned and angry veterans who work part-time at the Veterans Administration while attending college say their paychecks are sometimes weeks late, leaving them in trouble with bill collectors and having to borrow money to avoid eviction. The two-week paycheck, typically about $360, is sometimes vital to veterans raising families and juggling expenses. The VA says it's investigating and looking for ways to speed up the checks. I'm J.J. Green.
How can we determine which armed aerial scout helicopter is best for the U.S. warfighter? By proving it in competition. EADS North America is ready to prove that our AAS-72X is superior to any other armed aerial scout helicopter out there. So let the competition begin. Saying you're the best isn't good enough for our warfighters. You need to prove it. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
The Air Traffic Management Report, provided by Raytheon.
Raytheon is working with the FAA to help them guide and track air traffic more precisely and efficiently. And the entire planet is benefiting, because finding the most efficient way to a destination means lessening aviation's impact on the environment, saving fuel, reducing carbon emissions, and cutting down on noise. Transformation of air travel. It's happening today.
Do you hear that?
That's something we make safer and more efficient every day. Raytheon helps manage two-thirds of the world's airspace, modernizing, integrating, and supporting today's air traffic systems. For decades, we've continued to innovate as the nation's airways have continued to grow. After all, when your mission is transforming air travel, the sky's the limit. Raytheon. Customer success is our mission.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
Pending legislation, federal budget cuts, contracting efficiencies, contract management best practices, acquisition trends, and the relationship of government and industry will be discussed at NCMA's upcoming 31st Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 5th and 6th in Washington, D.C. Hear from Ted Leonsis, CEO of Monumental Sports and Entertainment, Frank Kendall, Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, and General George Casey, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. Learn more at ncmahq.org.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, and glad to have you with us. My guest is Sean Riley. He's a senior staff writer with the Federal Times. Sean, you with us?
I'm with you. Good morning.
Thank you for standing by. Let's start off with the Postal Service. I mean, it seems that it goes from one financial roller coaster to the next, and there've been some developments lately.
Yeah, there have been. This came out last week. Actually, it was first reported by the Wall Street Journal that the Postal Service, for the first time last month, hit its $15 billion borrowing cap with the Federal Treasury. This essentially is a line of credit that the Postal Service has that it's relied on increasingly in the last few years to help it manage with its rather thin cash flow situation. And, you know, back in 2005, that recently, the Postal Service was debt-free, had no borrowing from the Treasury. Now it's up to $15 billion, at least as of last month, and that is the maximum. And that raises some questions about how much flexibility or how much wiggle room the Postal Service will have in the future if it runs, if it gets into a real cash crunch.
Well, when it was set up, the old Post Office Department was like any other department of the government. It was budgeted for, money came out of the Treasury, and there it was. It was considered a public service, so there wasn't any idea of making money, although they did make a profit, I guess, on stamps and whatnot. But nobody envisioned the Internet, nobody envisioned email and Twittering and all that sort of thing. So is there hope for the Postal Service?
Well, I think the Postal Service is, yes, as you might expect. They have a plan which they unveiled last year, which essentially is intended to return them to long-term financial stability. You know, this would involve a number of steps, including getting rid of the requirement that it pre-fund its retiree health care obligations. It would allow it to set up its own health care plan, you know, pull people out of the federal plan, pull its employees out of the current federal plan. Give it more flexibility in a number of areas. The problem is a lot of those steps require congressional approval, and as we know, Congress is completely deadlocked at this point on what to do with the Postal Service. There's been, the Senate passed some legislation back in April, but the House hasn't taken up that bill, and the House also has not taken up a rival measure sponsored by Congressman Darrell Issa, who is the chairman of the House Committee that oversees the Postal Service.
Well, it would seem that this requiring the Postal Service to pre-fund its retirement. It looks like a political poison pill put in there to wreck the Postal Service, because no other federal agency, I don't think, has to pre-fund its retirements.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think it's mostly done on a pay-as-you-go basis. And this was done at the last minute in the end of 2006, when the last major piece of postal legislation passed. And I don't want to bore your listeners with the details of this, but essentially this requirement was added to make the legislation deficit neutral, that it would not show any increase in the federal debt down the road because of some other provisions in the bill. So it really was an artificial mechanism that had no real connection to what the Postal Service should or shouldn't do with regard to its future retiree health care obligations. And certainly a lot of people, definitely postal unions, do see this essentially as a poison pill that has taken the Postal Service from a situation which would basically be profitable, into which it's showing massive losses, basically, because it's now unable to make these retiree health care prepayments. As you know, they defaulted on two in the last couple of months for a total of $11.1 billion, and that certainly doesn't look very good on your balance sheet.
It doesn't, but it shows the absurdity of this kind of fiscal sleight of hand, because they're still paying retirees. They're still taking care of the medical expenses and whatnot. So it's a paper shuffling exercise that has some dangerous implications.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, the fact is the Postal Service, as I said, did default on these payments. There appear at this point to have been no legal consequences of that. But it does look very bad from when you see an organization the size of the Postal Service losing, I think it's probably around $15 billion this year in fiscal 2012, which just ended. And most of that's due to the pre-funding requirement. The Postal Service concern, which I've talked to some mailing industry organizations say is not unfounded, is that this will cause a quote-unquote crisis of confidence, unquote, within members of the mailing industry, and prod them to look perhaps more aggressively than they have in the past for other options to the Postal Service, because they're concerned about the agency's long-term viability.
Well, it looks like a can't-win situation. Now, this proposal that they have made or they want to make to set up their own health plan, I know that sends chills down the union's backbones. How come?
Well, they did, in part. Now, as I understand it, there have been more details provided in contract negotiations with individual unions. But publicly, the Postal Service has not said a whole lot about how this would work. It's gotten a cool reception from the Office of Personnel Management, which, of course, runs the existing federal health care program. And there just hasn't been a lot of detail for the rank-and-file employees who would be affected by this and how it would work. I mean, the Postal Service is obviously doing this, or wants to do it, because it helps to save money. And the one way you save money is in some way trimming benefits. I think that's the automatic presumption that many people have, and that is, that is their concern. They'll end up with something that's less generous and more expensive than what they already have.
Right. You trim benefits and or you make people pay a larger share of their premiums. The postals pay about half again what non-postal workers pay in their premiums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is a concern. I can't see this, of all the elements in the Postal Service's agenda to again return to financial stability long term, this seems to be one of the ones that's least likely, I think, to win approval.
Okay. Now, health insurance premiums are going up next year in many plans. I've forgotten what the average is, but the average is higher than the 1.7% that retirees are going to get in their cost of living adjustments, effective December, first showing up in the January payments. Why the disparity between the COLA and the health insurance premiums, or is there no connection?
Well, I think I think they're based on two different premises. The one, the COLA, is connected to the increase in the any increase in the consumer price index for urban wage earners and clerical workers. So that's essentially an inflation measure that the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out. Whereas health insurance premiums, our expert Steve Losey isn't here today. But I believe that's tied to essentially increase in cost of providing health care. It's got to be it's connected to the services, the actual cost of the program, which is clearly different from the overall inflation rate.
Yeah, medical inflation has traditionally run ahead, usually well ahead of the regular inflation rate, simply because it measures only one industry, and that's a constantly growing industry, new drugs being developed, new drugs on the market, more tests required for legal requirements and that sort of thing. So that's not going to change.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think in general, I mean, it's a problem throughout the whole economy that healthcare, the cost of healthcare is increasing more rapidly than perhaps anything else, except perhaps the cost of college education.
Hey, I want to get your take on our old friend, the sequestration monster.
Yes.
I was interested that during the debate, something came up about sequestration and its impact on the military defense, which would be about half of it. President Obama said something to the effect it's not going to happen.
Yeah, this is one of those moments where you suspect that staff members over the White House in this campaign were cringing. This came up during the debate when Governor Romney was brought up the issue of, and I assume all your listeners are familiar with what sequestration is at this point. These are across-the-board budget cuts that will kick in early January, unless Congress and the Obama administration agree on some sort of long-term plan to reducing future federal deficits by about $1.2 trillion. Governor Romney was saying that the Navy, which is already small, you know, quite small by historical standards in terms of the number of ships, was heading down to around the low 200s in the number if we go through sequestration. The president responded that, one, sequestration was not his idea, and, two, that it, quote, will not happen, unquote. And, you know, what the White House has previously said is that, you know, there have been pleas from Congress, primarily from Republicans, well, from all sectors, really, to do something to head off sequestration, that the impact on defense in particular would be devastating. And the president said he's going to veto any legislation that would remove the prospect of sequestration unless it's accompanied by, you know, real deficit reduction in other areas and probably, you know, a tax increase on, you know, very wealthy people.
Right. Well, the one side wanted the tax increase. The other wanted spending cuts. And sequestration was their sort of the ultimate game of chicken that both sides were playing. Both were using it. Did the president's statement undercut their bargaining position with the other side, or do people pay any attention to it?
Oh, I think people definitely paid attention. I'm looking at a Washington Post article here that quotes the president of the American Aerospace Industries Association, you know, which is essentially an organization of contractors, very, very concerned about sequestration. And the president said, quote, believe me when the president of the association said, believe me when he said that about sequestration, I jumped to my feet. I think Americans hope he meant what he said. But very soon after, White House officials were walking back that statement, essentially saying that what the president really meant to say was that, you know, like everyone else, he doesn't want sequestration to happen. But I think it does have at least some potential to affect his bargaining position. I mean, what you've got going on here is a game of chicken or a game of poker or whatever.
Yeah. Well,
where you may be bluffing, but you don't want the other side to know you're bluffing. And
right.
And to suggest that he would back down in this case.
Well, everybody's presenting a worst-case scenario, and the contractors and federal unions are all saying this would have a sequestration would have a devastating effect on both civilian and military personnel and on the contract community. And in a battleground state, as they call it, like Virginia, with a huge number of all three, that could be a major political issue.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it already is a major political issue in the Senate race between two former governors, George Allen and Tim Kaine, because I think you're already seeing contractors prepare or at least brace for the possibility of sequestration. I think they'd be foolish not to.
It'll all be over soon. Huh? Yeah.
Two more weeks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Remember, our shows are archived. You can listen here anytime. We'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Have a good week.